Welcome, everyone, to the Ready for the Draft podcast. I am your host, Greg Schutz. This is episode 20 of the 2025 podcast series, where we take a look at the draft eligible prospects and get you ready for the NFL draft. And hey, the NFL Combine is finally in the books. Day four, offensive lineman. We got to see a lot of guys that were coming off the board early in this draft, so it was really exciting to get to see a lot of these guys work out. So there were two groups. We went from Kelvin Banks, who was O-lineman one, went all the way through Jake Majors. Didn't run a 40, but we got to see him in some of the drills. So we'll go ahead and take a look at some of these guys and really talk through who really stood out from each of the groups. I think from the first group, Will Campbell out of LSU, 6'5 and 7'8", 319 pounds. Look, the arm length, 32 and 5'8", it's plenty long enough. I think there are some that were trying to get, you know, talk about the arms being potentially even shorter than that. Just under, you know, I mean, just over 32 and a half, so not quite that 33-inch arm length, but he brought up a great point on the broadcast, talking to Stacey Dales. He's like, look, my arms have been that length my entire life, and playing the offensive line, you win with your feet more than anything else. I think Joe Thomas has said something similar with the guy who has shorter than the prototypical offensive lineman, but I would say Will Campbell, the footwork was absolutely there. Ran a 4.98 40 with a 176, 10-yard split, 32-inch vertical leap as well. So this guy, he's a good athlete. You know, he works out hard in the weight room, 600-plus-pound squat. This is a guy, look, you know, you see the effortless movement with his feet, the change of direction. That was all on display. His ability to open it up and get out to that second level, able to do that with ease. One of the things, obviously, you didn't see at the combine, but his ability to, the change of direction, get underneath you and hold that point because of his strength. I think, obviously, some of the edge rushers coming off the edge, especially those that are long, they get a little bit of a shorter edge because maybe he doesn't have the arm length. But here's the thing. Will Campbell, the footwork is really what gets him to that place. So I think Will Campbell's a guy that could very well be a Pro Bowl guard, but I think whoever's drafting him, if he comes off the board in the top 10, someone is going to put Will Campbell at left tackle, at least to try him out there before they ultimately kick him inside. You'll really want to see how he moves. Another offensive tackle who looked really good was Kelvin Banks out of Texas. 6'5 and an 8th, 315 pounds, 33 and a half inch arms, 5'1", 6'40 with the 179, 10-yard split. So the 179 down too far off from what you had there with Will Campbell, who was the only guy who broke 5 seconds. 32-inch vertical leap as well. Kelvin Banks, you know, I thought change of direction, looked pretty smooth, you know, able to keep that knee bend. Pretty good mover overall. So Kelvin Banks absolutely stood out there as a left tackle who is going to come off the board in round number one. But I think Will Campbell still has a little bit of an edge on him. One guy who could very well sneak his way into the bottom of round number one is Ariante Ursary out of Minnesota. 6'6", 331 pounds, 33 and an eighth inch arm. So the arms aren't always the longest. So I think that's where he can get himself into trouble at times. But he has the foot speed to ride those guys away, the speed rushers away from the pocket. 5'01", 40, 175, 10-yard split. This guy moves really well. They said that he worked out with the receivers at times, and you can see the athleticism. You can see why. You know, pretty good bend for a guy who's 6'6", moves really well for a guy carrying that 331. And so for a big dude like that, you know, especially in the run game, I think really the biggest thing is working on some of that technique in pass pro. And if he could do that, I think Ariante Ursary could be an early starter, no doubt about that. Donovan Jackson out of Ohio State. Look, 6'4", 315, 33 and a half inch arms, played guard, you know, for most of his time there in Columbus, but had to kick out to tackle due to injury. And his performance at tackle was really impressive. You saw the footwork, you saw the hands, and I wouldn't be surprised if an offensive line coach is looking at him saying, this guy can be a tackle at the next level. Look, Thayer Munford was really seen as a guard coming out of Ohio State, and he actually got to see time at right tackle there for the Raiders. You look at Donovan Jackson, he looked very smooth at left tackle, and the speed never really bothered him. I thought he moved really well in the drills up until he ended up with a leg injury, but the dude played through it. I think it was Charles Davis on the broadcast. Asked him how he was doing, and he said, man, I'm doing great. Even though you could see the grimace on his face, you knew he was in pain. This dude gutted through it, and to me, Donovan Jackson is one of those guys who could come off the board late one or early in round number two and could be a day one starter. You know, it's just a question of exactly where he comes off the board. You know, teams looking for offensive line help. I think the Lions could potentially be on the market for an offensive lineman. I think if the Bears are still looking for another lineman, I think they're going to double dip. They've got three picks in the first two rounds. I could see the Bears going for an offensive lineman at 10, whether that's Will Campbell or Armon Menbu, who we'll talk about here in a second, or Donovan Jackson in round two. Just have to see how the board plays out, but I think the Bears could be primed to get a couple of offensive linemen in this year's draft. Other guys to stand out, Josh Connerly Jr. out of Oregon. 6'4 and 5'8, 311 pounds, 33 and a half inch arms, plenty long enough. You know, I'll tell you, the foot speed, another guy that ran, I think, in the, you know, the 507 range. And this is a guy, you know, 34 and a half inch vertical leap as well. Really a good athlete. That was something that I thought really stood out. And I think with Josh Connerly, the movement skills, actually was a 505 official. And I think for him, you know, 17140, this dude could absolutely get out. And change of direction, not a problem with him. Really my biggest thing is that lower half, because he's got the foot speed. He's got plenty of length. So the real question mark for him is just, you know, can he anchor? Because that's really been his biggest problem. He gets driven back on his heels, and once that happens, you know, he's getting driven back all the way into the backfield. So that's something that I think he'll absolutely need to work on. But in terms of the athleticism, he checked all the boxes. If I'm sitting there, you know, with, you know, the Chiefs at 31, you saw Joe Tooney, you know, playing left tackle, playing out of position. He needs to be kicked back inside to guard. He has no business really being at left tackle, because, you know, that's not his best position. His best position, we all know, is that guard. And I thought he got exposed in the Super Bowl ultimately. You know, he held up as long as he could, but ultimately he's a guy that belongs at guard. They need a tackle. Kingsley Suamataya, I think, ultimately is going to be a, you know, kicked over to the right side. I think that's ultimately where his home is going to be. So I think Connerly, 31, could make a lot of sense. I think also the Ravens, depending on what happens with Ronnie Stanley, another guy to keep an eye on there as well. So Miles Frazier out of LSU, I thought, had a really solid day. 6'6", 317, ran a 5'2", 440, but a 179, 10-yard split. But the footwork, you know, we have really good feet. The mirror drill, I thought he covered a lot of ground overall. And then just getting out in space and being able to take off and run. I thought Miles Frazier helped himself. I think he solidified his status as a day two performer. So that was another guy who kind of stood out there for me in terms of some of the athleticism. I'll tell you what, Eli Cox, the center out of Kentucky, 6'4 and a quarter, 306, just 31-inch arms, ran a 5.02 40, looked really athletic. So if you're looking for an athletic guard, he's somebody that absolutely stood out. Now, Tyler Booker out of Alabama, this is a guy that I think could go as high as 13 to the Dolphins. I think, you know, Seattle at 18 makes a lot of sense as well. But 6'5", 321, 34 and a half inch arms, freaking 11 inches on those hands, ran a 5.38 40, but that's not really going to be his game, right? This is a guy that, you know, he showed pretty good feet, you know, especially with the mirror drill. You know, didn't cover a ton of ground, but this is a guy who's going to be a mauler. He's going to beat you up. You know, he gets out on the pull and is able to explode coming off the edge there. That's really where I thought he shined. And so Booker, to me, I think is you know, his status is just fine, you know, there in that middle of round number one. You look at Logan Brown out of Kansas, 6'6", 311, 5'1", 840, 175, 10-yard split. It was interesting watching the two of them, because Booker has this dense lower half, has that big old booty, and you want to see that out of your guards, the guys that are able to really anchor and that power there. And then you look at Logan Brown, who, you know, from an athletic standpoint, you know, he looked much different body type right? A lot more slender, but a guy that I think could end up playing tackle at the next level. Pretty smooth athlete. Anthony Belton out of NC State at 6'6", 336 pounds. Ran a 5'2", 640, but I thought in the drills carried that weight a lot better than expected. You know, so that was another guy that I think potential home at tackle. I think you definitely have some of that there. I'll tell you, when I watched Joshua Gray out of Oregon State, another guy, 6'5", 299 pounds, 504 40. This guy played tackle for the Beavers before kicking inside to guard for his final year. But that 31 and 3/8 inch arms, and the way that he was moving, he moved a lot like Eli Cox. And so when I watched that, it just kind of tells me that that's really where he should be playing. And I think it was Charles Davis, or maybe it was Daniel Jeremiah on the broadcast saying, center is probably his home. And I can't argue with that. He moved like a center. 31-inch vertical leap as well. This guy's a good athlete. And you kick him inside, gives him some of that versatility. He can also, move out to guard in a pinch. But I think that lack of size really kind of limits him a little bit. But I still think he's an early day three guy. They brought up another great point on the broadcast with Miles Hinton, because I was thinking the same thing. 6'7", 323, 34 and an eighth inch arms. Didn't run the 40, but he actually moved pretty well, for a guy his size. Well, I think he only gave up one sack there at Michigan, and a guy that, taking the Mekhi Becton route. This is a copycat league. Mekhi Becton, Eagles kicked him inside to guard, and man, you want to talk about a difference maker. He was absolutely able to do that. So teams, you look at a guy like Anthony Belton, with Miles Hinton is another one. These big guys, these big, dense offensive tackles that have a lot of length could potentially find a home there on the inside. I thought the center, Drew Kendall out of Boston College, 6'4", 308. He has experience both guard and center, 31 and 3/4 inch arms, 505, 40. He moved very comfortable in the mirror drill, especially. He's a guy that's going to be a center, and I think he'll be a top five center in this draft. Draft class that's really lacking a lot of talent there at the center position. Definitely a guy that is going to hear his name called. Jake Majors out of Texas, 6'3", 306, only 30 3/8 inch arms, but moved really well. Another guy who's very athletic at that center position. Mid to late day three, I think there's no question about that. For me, Emory Jones, any talk of him at the tackle position, I think we need to kind of move out the window. 6'5", 315, 34 1/4 inch arms. So he's got the length, he's got the size for it, but I didn't see the foot speed there that would make me trust that. I think that was one of the things for me that stood out was I'm just like, man, it didn't look smooth. And so that's something that is troublesome there for sure, as I think about that. So that was the first group of the offensive linemen. You get to the second group, and that's basically Marcus Bowe all the way to Gray Zabel. Marcus Bowe did not run a 40, but at 6'4", 303, very athletic, 32-inch arms, so not the ideal length. A guy that probably, at 303, does he kick inside to guard? I think he's one of those guys to watch out for. Where do you really line him up? Because he's got some of the athleticism, he's got, some of the recovery skills, and then his ability to just maul guys and punish them. He's got some of that versatility to either play tackle or guard. But the guy that really stood out was the first guy that actually ran the 40 in the group, and that was Armand Membu. Ran a 4.9140 at 6'4 and 332 pounds. And then get this, his arm length, 33 1/2. 34-inch vertical leap as well. This guy is a tackle. 31 reps at 225 in the bench press as well. I don't know what else to say. This guy is absolutely a tackle at the next level. And look, if I'm the Patriots sitting there at number 4 overall, if you're not confident in your offensive line, which you're not, you've got to be able to take care of Drake May. I think they should be looking at Membu. I think they should be looking at Will Campbell. Whoever doesn't get taken there, if the Patriots decide that's the direction they want to go, Then I think at 10, the other one comes off the board. I think those are the two guys right now that stand out to me as those top 10 picks. Membu, look, you know, the athleticism absolutely stood out on tape, and that's something that I was really excited to see, that, you know, when he worked out, looked smooth. Man, just want to see him at the next level as a physical finisher there at the tackle spot. You know, the interesting thing for him with the Bears is, you know, he's not really a left tackle. He's more of a right tackle. But does he kick over to left tackle? Does he move inside the guard? I think the better fit there, honestly, would be Will Campbell. And Will Campbell could then ultimately take over for Braxton Jones. If you're still trusting Braxton Jones, then you could always kick him inside the guard. So that would be an interesting group there. You know, Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State. You know, we know that he was a left tackle there for the Bison. Excellent movement skills. You watched him at the Senior Bowl, lined up at both guard positions and at center, so all the interior line positions. 6'6", 312, 32-inch arms. Didn't run the 40, but had a 36.5-inch vertical leap. And then when you did watch him in the drills, this guy was super athletic. I think they said it on the broadcast that he moves like a tight end. And absolutely, I mean, he carries that 312 pounds so well. And, you know, the movement skills are off the charts. That was something that really stood out for me. I was really impressed. Zabel, to me, is absolutely a first-round pick. When you think about Graham Barton, how he stood out, I thought Zabel, even though he didn't run the 40, absolutely stood out in this group. So just like Barton, I think you're going to see Zabel get drafted somewhere on day one. You know, is he a guard? Is he a center? I think he could be an even better center prospect than at the guard spot. I think when I think about ultimately what I want to do with Zabel in my mock draft, I've got a couple of different places kicking around, but, you know, I think Detroit at 28 makes a lot of sense. You know, they lose Kevin Zeitler, and they can absolutely use him, plug him into that offensive line, and give you some of that versatility on the interior of that line. I think that's a home for him that would make a heck of a lot of sense. It would be interesting to see ultimately where he does come off the board, but that feels like it just makes sense, right? So not only Zabel, but Jared Wilson, right at the very end of this group, 6'3", 310, 32 3/8-inch arms, so a little bit longer for the center class, right? 4'8", 440 with a 172, 10-yard split. This dude was absolutely getting out and getting after it. 32-inch vertical leap. Excellent athlete. Excellent movement skills. You know, the footwork was tremendous. Very quick feet. Able to get out and pull in a hurry. He's somebody that stood out to me. Day 2 pick. Easy. Easy pick there. Wyatt Milam out of West Virginia at 6'6.5", 313, 32 1/8-inch arms. You know, hey, he's kicking inside to guard. Work, you know, the foot speed at times, you know, really got after him there. But, you know, 5'2", 40 kind of proves, yeah, he probably needs to be inside at that guard spot. But, you know, 1.84, 10-yard split as well. But with Wyatt Milam, he's a physical presence. He'll be a mauler on the inside. You know, I'm not too worried about him. Tate Ratledge, though, at 6'6.5", 308, 4.97, 40, 172, 10-yard split, 32-inch vertical leap. Much better athlete than I think I was giving him credit. And a guy who is an easy day 2 pick. The movement skills are absolutely there. Really just goes to show that, you know, the injuries that were catching up to him in 2024, you know, that's not him at 100%. This guy moves really well. You saw that in the drills. Really stood out there. I think there's no question about that. You know, Ozzie Trapillo out of Boston College, 6'8 and a quarter in an eighth, 316 pounds, 33-inch arms, ran a 5'2", 140, 177, 10-yard split. You know, they had a great comp on the broadcast. I think it's absolutely right. Rob Havenstein. He looks and feels a lot like Havenstein. And I thought he did really a great job at the combine, riding the speed, the edge rushers away from the pocket. Guys were wanting to attack that outside shoulder. And look, he's not the quickest guy by any means, but, you know, much like Havenstein, but he's going to maul you up in the run game, and then he holds up pretty well on the outside as well. So I think that's really what kind of caught my eye with Capillo. And here's the thing, Havenstein taken in the second round, number 57 overall in the 2015 draft, coming out of Wisconsin. I think that Trapillo has a chance to kind of fall in that range. If not, then he'll be early third round. Another name to keep an eye out for is going to be Jalen Travis in that day two range out of Iowa State. 6'8", 339, ran a 5'1", 440, 35-inch vertical leap. So he's got that lower body explosiveness. You saw that with his change of direction for a guy his size. Jalen Travis, knee bend, that pad level at times can get him in trouble, both he and Trapillo. But I thought overall, Travis is a guy that moves really well. That size definitely jumps out. Jonas Savanaya out of Arizona, 6'4 and 8th, 324 pounds, ran a 4'9, 440, 172, 10-yard split. And look, 33 and 7/8 inch arms. Length really isn't the issue for him. I think it's more the foot speed than anything else. And when you look at him, he's got the body type. He just looks like a guard. You kick him inside, I think he's a guy that could just maul you up, beat you up, utilize that grip strength to really lock onto you and just be a menace there on the interior of that line. Holland Pierce out of Rutgers at 6'8 and 341 with 36-inch arms. I mean, this guy is just freakish with his size. And we didn't see him run a 40, but this guy, he actually bends really well for a guy at 6'8". I mean, he looks like a basketball player out there, to be honest with you. And he's just an intriguing prospect. He'll be a day three guy, but someone that I think could be a developmental prospect and a guy that if teams want to take a shot at him, he has some tools to work with, and you could develop him. Carson Vincent out of Alabama A&M is another one. 6'7", 314 pounds, 34.5-inch arms, 5'1", 240. Stood out, at times at the Senior Bowl. Got exposed at times as well, but I think a lot of that is just the level of play where he's at. You get him into an offensive line room, I think he's a guy that could end up playing tackle at the next level. So those were really the guys that stood out for me. Josh Simmons out of Ohio State, 6'5", 317. I've been saying that this guy, when healthy, his tape, he could be potentially that number one offensive tackle taken in the draft, potentially talking about top 10. Then he tears the patellar tendon in week 6 and misses the rest of the season. And so that's really a big reason why Donovan Jackson had to kick out the left tackle. That and the fact that Zeb Michalski, his backup, also gets hurt. But getting back to Simmons, Ian Rappaport had announced that he's way ahead of schedule and that it looks like he'll be ready to go for the 2025 season, which is huge. That patellar tendon injury is not an easy one to come back from. There are a lot of guys where they struggle, in fact, coming off of that injury, and that was really my biggest concern. And I thought maybe his draft stock slides because of that. Now that they're saying that, hey, his health shouldn't be a question, I think Josh Simmons watches that draft stock start to climb back up again, and he'll be one of those guys that we're talking about as a potential top 20 pick. So he's got, again, athleticism for days, movement just effortless with the kick slide, his ability to change directions, to redirect. He would have been one of those easy mover types that would fall right into this group and be one of the top in terms of the workouts had he been healthy enough to show up and be able to work out. He did show up. He was sitting there on the bench, and at times they put some camera on him, got him some camera time, but working there with his guys and being able to support the group. So he was absolutely there and taking part. They said that his interviews went really well. So I'm a big Josh Simmons guy. I think the Rams need a left tackle if Alaric Jackson leaves in free agency. I think Josh Simmons, though, if the Rams want him, they're probably going to have to trade up to get him. I think Josh Simmons, as things continue to go, that draft stock is just going to continue to creep up a little bit. There are so many offensive linemen here, though, that someone is going to fall. It's difficult to really decide exactly who that's going to be when you're talking about Kelvin Banks and Will Campbell and Armon Membu. Those three guys, I think, will be your top. I think Membu probably comes off the board first, then Will Campbell, then Kelvin Banks. I think Tyler Booker is, I gave you a couple of teams for him with the Dolphins and Seattle. I think that makes a lot of sense as well. Then you get into Donovan Jackson with that potential. Jonas Avenia, is he a first rounder or a second rounder? That's going to be a question. So I think when you're looking at this group, Josh Simmons kind of slides in right after that, and I think you put him just ahead of Josh Connerly. But they're all going to be first rounders. So the question, like I said, I think you're probably going to have two in the top 10. Kelvin Banks will be a fast follower right after that, along with Tyler Booker. And then you got to put Josh Simmons in that category. And then Gray Zabel, he falls right into that Graham Barton range towards the end of round number one. Barton taking number 26 overall last year by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And look, he was 6'5", 313. Gray Zabel, 6'6", 312. They both played left tackle. It was Zabel at North Dakota State, Graham Barton at Duke. So the match just really makes a whole lot of sense. And, I'm just throwing this out there. I've already said the Lions at 28. They need a guard more than a center because they have Frank Ragnow with Kevin Zeitler on the move. But you look at Green Bay. Green Bay absolutely needs corner help. But Josh Myers is also a free agent. Could Green Bay potentially have an interest in bringing him along, drafting Gray Zabel to really shore up the interior of that offensive line? Just throwing that out there. Will it actually come to fruition? That's a huge question mark if there ever was one. But because they have that corner help that they're absolutely desperate for, another team that could potentially be interested could be Houston. Houston needs to get better on that offensive line. They need to protect C.J. Stroud. I think they're more interested in a guard. With Kenyon Green being a huge disappointment, Shaq Mason battled some injuries. You have Jared Patterson, who was a sixth-round pick a season ago. Juice Scruggs in the mix there as well, who's also played around at guard. Could you potentially see Houston at 25 taking Gray Zabel, really solidifying that line spot there and at the pivot? I think that could make a heck of a lot of sense. Even the Chargers could be on the market for an interior lineman. I think Bradley Bozeman, Brendan James, they're both free agents. They're at that center position. You got Slater, you got Zion Johnson, Trey Pipkins, Joe Alt. I know they've got some other needs. They could be looking for a receiver with Josh Palmer and DJ Chark, free agents. J.K. Dobbins is a free agent, so they could be looking at the running back spot. They also need a nose tackle. Somehow Kenneth Grant or Derek Harmon falls to them. Puna Ford, Tyre Tart are both free agents. They could also go with a corner, Asante Samuel and Christian Fulton. But priority should also be to protect Justin Herbert up front. So I look at Gray Zabel. That could be a great fit. I think that's probably the ceiling there for Gray Zabel is the Chargers there at 22. And then I think the floor is probably the Lions there at 28. I think that's the range for Gray Zabel. That makes a lot of sense to me, just kind of thinking through it as we look at some of the team needs. Beyond that, I think you've got some early second rounders in Jonas Avenia. I think that's a dead giveaway. I think he's someone who can give you that physical presence along the offensive line. I think another guy that stands out for me is going to be Marcus Bowe out of Purdue. That athleticism, it's rare when you find a guy that can move as well as he does and be a finisher like he is. So I think he'll be a second rounder. I think Wyatt Milam could be either a late second or early third round. A guy that could be another physical presence on the offensive line. Trapillo is probably either late second round or early third. I think Travis is going to be a third round pick. I think Jared Wilson out of Georgia is going to be a day two guy, likely coming off the board in round number three. Tate Ratledge out of Georgia, another really easy moving guard. Ratledge now 100% in terms of his health. So I see him as a day two pick for sure. I think Logan Brown out of Kansas at 6'6 and 311 is a guy that we're going to see come off the board on day two, likely in that third round range for sure. Miles Frazier out of LSU is another one. One guy that I haven't mentioned to this point is Charles Grant out of William & Mary at 6'5, 311 with 34 and three quarters inch arms. He didn't work out, but this is a guy that he has length for days, moves really well. I think he can prove that he can play at this level as well. Keep an eye for Charles Grant, probably in that mid to late second round or in round number three. I mentioned Donovan Jackson earlier. If he's not a late one, then he's going to be an early round two guy for sure. So when I look at this group, you're going to find value in all 3 days of the draft. It just depends on exactly what your needs are. If you're looking for somebody to start at the tackle spot, you're probably going to be jumping at the chance to get one of these guys in round number one. Some of the interior linemen. You've got tackles that you can potentially move inside to guard. Some of the guards you can also move inside to center. So the positional versatility is absolutely there as well. You can get some developmental guys all along the way. Now look, Chase Lunt out of Connecticut at 6'7 and 304. He's got shorter arms. Could possibly kick inside to guard, be one of those developmental guys there on the inside. Holland Pierce is another one that is going to be a developmental prospect, but a guy that could be really intriguing. And then Jalen Travis, I mentioned he could potentially come off the board in round number three. I mean, 34 7/8 inch arms at 6'8 and 339. Ran a 5.14 40 for a dude that's that big. I think there's a lot to work with there. And then Cameron Williams out of Texas at 6'6, 317. Hasn't played a ton of football. 34.5 inch arms. You think about him at Texas. He struggled at times with some of the speed. Could he potentially be a candidate to kick inside a guard? Again, you're looking at the Eagles, and that's really the blueprint that a lot of teams are going to want to copy. Because, look, it is a copycat league. We know that. And when you look at that line, that is... That's the type of line that you're going to want. But I think you also have to make sure that you also have the right offensive line coach in there. Jeff Stoutland is probably the best to do it right now. So you've got to make sure that as you're working along, you've got the right fit there as a coach as well. But I'm definitely excited for this group. Really want to see where everything lays out and really see as things continue to progress through the pro days and such, some of the guys that we didn't see work out, really want to see what they can do. Hopefully we'll get to see more of these guys run some 40s. Donovan Jackson for one. Hopefully that leg injury doesn't really linger. Be able to see, potentially Charles Grant get to move a little bit. Cameron Williams is somebody that you're going to be looking for. Gray Zabel, I'd love to see what that 40 time is going to be. Incredibly athletic. So, there's some guys that you're going to want to see run, and hopefully we get to see some of that. We'll get to see, really what the board looks like with free agency. That's going to be the other key is who's going to have those needs, especially in round one. So who's going to come off the board when? That's going to really dictate just how many offensive linemen we have in round one. Because really, I haven't mentioned it, but Ariante Ursary with the movement skills at 6'6", 331, he can come off the board in round number one as well. It just really kind of depends on how many teams are going to be that needy in terms of that offensive line help in round one. Could they wait until round two, round three, get some of these developmental guys, or is there a need for a starter right away? That's really going to be the big key for a lot of these teams with the draft boards. So we're going to go ahead and put an end to the combine. I think after that, really need to get together my first mock draft post-combine before we get into free agency, really start outlining all of that, kind of talk through exactly what we're expecting. The Titans, I keep going back and forth. Are they going to take Abdul Carter? Are they going to take a quarterback? That's really the big question mark. There was a talk that maybe they would trade with the Giants, and the Giants could trade up to number one, get Cam Ward. Sounds like maybe they would get Harold Landry as part of the deal potentially as well, which would then kind of set the stage for, it's going to be Abdul Carter there at number three overall, as long as Cleveland doesn't decide to take him. And it sounds like maybe they are not going to want to trade Myles Garrett. And if that's the case, then maybe they do target either Travis Hunter or Shedeur Sanders there at number two, which would open things up for them to take Abdul Carter at three. If they do trade away that first overall selection, and it is to the Giants. So then at four, the Patriots protecting Drake May, I think ultimately, I think it is going to be a key. You know, Mason Graham is a guy that surprisingly is kind of slipping down some draft boards. You know, we know how physical he is up front. I think really you have to look at who the guys have been coming off the board in the top five in at the D-tackle position. Does he fit that mold? I think right now the clubhouse leader there for the Patriots, for me at least, is going to be Armon Membu. I think the versatility is absolutely there. You line him up there at right tackle, though, and I think that's the end of things, end of discussion. Jaguars need a corner. I think that's where you see Travis Hunter come off the board. They need a receiver. They need a corner. This is a guy that can do a little bit of both for you. The Raiders sitting there at six are an interesting team. I still think this is where Ashton Jeanty is going to come off the board. I really do. Which then takes you to the Jets. What do the Jets do? I think that's going to be a big question mark. Is this where Teterow and McMillan comes off the board? Potentially team him up with Garrett Wilson. I think we could potentially see that. I think with Tyler Conklin being a free agent, you could also see Tyler Warren, if he's going to come off the board in the top 10. This could be a potential home for him. And then Will Johnson. Just, you know, where is he at with his injury? He could potentially slide, but Aaron Glenn, he loves those press man corners. Ran a cover one and with the Lions. You team him with Sauce Gardner. That would be really interesting, you know, an interesting combo. Carolina sitting there at number eight. I think if Mason Graham is on the board, they're going to go ahead and take Mason Graham, team him up with Derrick Brown. You know, I think you could also make an argument for Tyler Warren and an edge rusher, but I think that's really going to be a key, is solidifying things up front. Then go get your edge rusher after that. At number nine, the Saints. I think the Saints ultimately do target an edge rusher. And so the question then becomes, who is that number two edge rusher? Is it Mike Green? Is it Jaylen Walker? Is it Mykel Williams? I think ultimately at the end of the day, they are going to target Mykel Williams here at number nine, just because of the traits are all there. You see the explosiveness and everything. You know, I think there's a lot of talk that maybe it could be Shamar Stewart. I just don't see Shamar Stewart rising into a top 10 pick with the lack of overall production. I think that's more of a mid round one to late round one. It's just the feel that I have for that. So I think Mykel Williams at number nine, or Teterow and McMillan. They do need a number one receiver. Chris Olave to me is really a number two, so you could potentially go with McMillan there. And then you get to the Bears, and I mentioned already, if Membu's off the board, then it's Will Campbell, vice versa. That's probably going to be my top 10, although you know, obviously, as free agency starts approaching, we're already hearing, you know, that teams are starting to think about franchise tag and starting to think through potential trades and all of that. So it may look a little bit different by the time I actually get to release it on the website, readyforthedraft.com, and then we'll come on here as soon as I have that released, put together a podcast, and walk through my first round. Ultimately, what I want to do is get at least three rounds up on the website, and kind of talk through where I see some of the team needs, where I see some of the fits, kind of talk through where I see you know, them focusing their efforts in the first three rounds of the draft. Then we'll obviously play NFL by the numbers, talk through how many players at each position we think are going to come off the board in each of the rounds, see if we can predict that, more so just playing the numbers game as opposed to where the teams are. We know teams are going to trade in and out. That's really what happens on day two and day three. You know, day one to a degree, but really day two and day three, you see a lot of movement there. So really, can we predict where the players are going to come off the board, how many in each round, and who is it going to be? So stay tuned for that as well. So until next time, for readyforthedraft.com, this has been the Ready for the Draft podcast. I've been your host, Greg Schutz. Take care, everyone. Until next time, I am out of here.